Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, it's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Monday, July 3rd. Good morning and welcome to the final hour of Morning Air on the Feast of St. Thomas the Apostle. I'm John Morales. Glenn Leverins is enjoying a few days off during this 4th of July holiday. Our studio producer, Sarah Tafoya, is with us. Thanks so much for joining us all across America and beyond on this Monday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's always a joy and a privilege to be with you, as many of you are enjoying the long Independence Day weekend. I can tell you we are absolutely 100% live here this morning. Today, the Catholic Church is celebrating the Feast of St. Thomas the Apostle. He's the apostle that needed to touch Jesus' wounds from the crucifixion before he would believe. We know him as Doubting Thomas. Because of Thomas, Jesus said one of the most profound things ever written in John's Gospel. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. July is also the traditional month in which we honor the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Morning Air Show. You can send us an email directly, morningair@relevantradio.com. Want to bring in once again my colleague and studio producer, Sarah. Sarah, a lot of our Relevant Radio family is off today. A lot of folks all across America are off, but we're in business. Today is not an official federal holiday.
Oh, boy, am I glad they're not here, because, man, we got front row parking, John. We got no fighting for parking spaces, no fighting for traffic. Everyone's on vacation. Good. So we got a front row seat. It was great.
So have you begun to celebrate our nation's 247th birthday?
Wow, that old already. Doesn't look a day over 200. I can't believe it. Wow, time really does fly by. You know what? Yes, over the weekend, we kind of just started to put a couple of decorations up. You know, we don't have the fancy flags you have. I do have some napkins that have a flag on it. There's less regulation. So I thought we'll start with that. We put some of those decoration little flag napkins up. I see you're dressed in patriotic. I'm dressed in patriotic, you know, theater of the mind. You guys can't tell, but we are in red, white, and blue.
For sure.
Very good. Absolutely. Yeah, no, so we got some fireworks shows lined up, and definitely, of course, those hot dogs, as we talked earlier. If anyone missed all of our little trivia from the first hour, hit up the podcast later, but we talked about all the hot dogs that we'll be eating this weekend. But we have some more trivia we'd like to pass out to the listeners today.
Absolutely. You know, most people think of the 4th of July, they think of food and fun and fireworks, but there's some facts that a lot of folks are not aware of. For example, John Adams wrote a letter to his wife about how memorable Independence Day would be in American history, but he thought it was celebrated on the wrong day, and he was right. In his letter, he said that the day should be celebrated with parades and with bonfires and fireworks. I think that one of our founding fathers, John Adams, was quite prophetic.
Well, I'm just thinking of like what that would have looked like today. He probably would have sent his wife a text. I'm just trying to think of other firework emojis that would have been in that, with like smiley faces and thumbs up and little bonfire. You know, there's so it would have looked a little different, but you know what? That was good. We have this historical record, these letters that we can go back to, physical things, as opposed to now it's like that stuff kind of gets deleted and it's lost forever. It's not as historical, but yeah, that's cool, man. He was right on the money.
One more tidbit. Now, did you know that the Liberty Bell rings 13 times every Independence Day to honor the 13 original states?
Well, I did not know that, but that's probably a lot of pressure for the person who's got to ring the bell, because I imagine as you're ringing it, you're trying to count, and hopefully you don't lose track. That's more fingers, you know, you got to ring more than the fingers on your hand, so you got to make sure that you add those extra three in properly. So maybe they have, like, it's a two-man job, one person ringing, one person counting, to make sure they don't leave any of those states out.
And this is a tradition in the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. It'll be happening once again a little bit later on tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, as it happens every single 4th of July.
Well, and did you know that Pennsylvania actually has some Latin in it? Sylvania is actually Latin for woods, and William Penn was the first guy that came there, so it's Penn's Woods. That's what Pennsylvania stands for.
All right. Where do you think the first 4th of July fireworks show happened and when?
Well, it wasn't my backyard because that would have been too. Yeah, I don't know, John. Where was it?
Believe it or not, 1777. That was the first of 4th of July fireworks display, and it happened, of course, in Philadelphia.
Oh, very good. Yeah, I just count all the fingers on everybody who was doing that afterwards, because I imagine the firework regulations were a little bit wilder back then. But yeah, they had to learn over time. Hey, stand a few feet back. That sounds fun.
Now, tomorrow, of course, is a federal holiday, but the 4th of July didn't actually become a national holiday until 1870. We're talking about almost 100 years later. I wonder what took them so long.
Well, you know, they might be like, you know, a lot of people had to agree. There's probably disagreement. Everyone wanted something different. So, you know, it's taking a long time to pass things now. So I imagine humanity hasn't changed much in the past 200 years.
Okay, I plan on seeing fireworks at a minor league baseball game. The Chicago Dogs, they put on a great show, and we're headed there tonight. But did you know that Americans spend over $1.5 billion on fireworks? That's what they spent in 2021, the last time we have the numbers.
Well, I would say not all of that have to be, if it's people from Illinois, you know, it's like kind of illegal to have fireworks here. So we have to cross borders and then kind of sneak them back. But did you know that Chicago is known as the crossroads of the United States?
I have heard that,
that's very true.
It's also the city of wind.
And there's been many theories of why that is called that. Yeah.
Yeah. You mm-hmm. know, just one other note, the Macy's 4th of July fireworks show, which goes on, obviously, in New York City, it takes 8,000 hours to prepare for that show. That's according to the American Pyrotechnics Association. Can you believe it?
I, you know what? You want to make sure that you get that right. Those things are so intricately, you know, the music has to hit at the just when they're shooting them off at the right time. That is very complicated. I'm glad I'm not in charge of that. You know, this job's a little complicated, much more complicated. So I'm glad that I'm not in charge of that.
Well, I've been enjoying the patriotic theme music that you've been sharing with us this morning to get us in the mood for celebrating our nation's 247th birthday tomorrow.
Yeah, we will be playing a few more tunes, so stay tuned for those musical notes.
Absolutely. We begin every hour, as we always do, in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings, always through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, the Mother of God. And on Mondays, traditionally, we pray for the souls in purgatory of our relatives and our loved ones. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and patroness of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio and my hero, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit, the executive producer of Morning Air, when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We are live this morning. If you want to be part of our program, our number is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Now, sometimes summer can get a little bit crazy and super, super busy. With the kids out of school and all the different schedules and activities that are going on, it is so easy to neglect our prayer life. And even going to Mass, especially when we're on vacation, it's just so easy to forget about it. But vacation doesn't mean vacation from our spiritual life. Prayer should be part of our day every day for the rest of our life. It's kind of like breathing the air. You wouldn't think of not breathing, then that's how prayer should be. So joining us live this morning is our spiritual director today, Father John Gordon, to share some ideas so we don't forget to pray during this summer break. Father Gordon is the Secretary for Evangelization for the Archdiocese of Newark, as well as a longtime Relevant Radio contributor. Good morning, Father Gordon. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday morning. It's great to be with you here during this holiday long weekend.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Relevant Radio. It is a beautiful day. I love being with you folks. It's a great opportunity. Where I am here in New Jersey, it's at the moment, it's very sunny and pleasant. So hopefully that weather stays with us. But I'm so excited to be able to talk about prayer, because I think if we think of prayer as a job, the work that I have to do, we'll approach it like we approach many things like that, especially during the summer, as a little lighter. I might take a day off once in a while or get a vacation. But I think if I think of prayer as expressing the relationship that I have, that I want to have with the Lord, that becomes very different. Because if anything, the summer in particular is a time of building up our relationships. People that we don't see that often, or people that we don't spend as much time with as we'd like, we have a little more time to linger in those relationships during the summer. We can have later nights, we can have outdoor meals, we can take some time off together. And relationships are stronger and built up in particular during these summer days. All the more then to we take the opportunity to build up our relationship with the Lord in a very strong fashion during these days. At the same time, for those other kinds of relationships to work, we have to make a commitment. I'm going to be committed to spending some time with these friends or these people or these relatives or whatever it might be. Or we might spend our time investing in developing a hobby or developing an interest or a skill in some way, shape, or form. Sometimes people go to special camps or do special things like a cooking school for a week or so. All these ways in which the summer allows us to expand our abilities. But the one thing that is common to all those things is the decision to commit to those activities, to those events, to those relationships. And I want to encourage all of us to have that same level of commitment to daily personal prayer, to investing in that relationship with the Lord, a commitment to spend time with Him every single day, even if it's just for a few moments, but to make a commitment that at some point I'm going to spend some significant time with Him. Maybe I'll take a prayer day or a retreat day or do a holy hour when I typically do not do such a thing, or whatever it might be. These are ways in which we can invest in the relationship, not to see prayer as part of the job that I do of being a Christian, but seeing prayer as an expression of a relationship, which is just life-giving beyond all measure.
It reminds me, Father Gordon, of St. Thomas Aquinas, who once said the essence of the spiritual life is friendship with God. And you cannot you can't be friends with anybody if you don't communicate. And that's where prayer comes in, having that personal relationship, that communication from the heart with our Lord.
Yes, the only way we can have a personal relationship or friendship with anybody is to spend time with them. And that's what prayer is, spending time with the Lord. And if we're going to commit to that, I think therefore we have to plan for it. In other words, I don't just kind of show up at somebody's house, here I am, let's spend some time together. No, we planned it. We made a plan to meet for lunch or to go to the beach or to play miniature golf or whatever it is that we planned. We planned something. And I think we need to plan our time with the Lord. Some people think, oh, that's not spiritual enough. It should be more spontaneous and the like. I disagree. Things that are important, we always put on a schedule. And so it might not be the same time every day, but at some point, part of the rhythm and routine of my day, prayer was going to be there, whether it's because of a specific time of the day or specific point in the routine of my day. So, for example, my day might be I get up at different times depending upon what's going on, but part of my morning routine is spending time with the Lord in prayer, or evening routine, or whatever it might be. And one of the things I would encourage us to do, and I know this has been a very significant help for me in my own commitment to daily personal prayer, is to have a plan B. What I mean by that is, if my plan is to pray as part of my morning routine, but my morning routine got trumped up because I maybe didn't sleep well the night before, or got to bed very late, or had something that I had to do in a different kind of time frame, so I was not able to spend that time in the morning of my morning routine to pray, to spend time with the Lord in that way, then my plan B is I don't get to have lunch. Instead, I spend time with prayer. So I have some kind of a plan B in place. I tell you, I like my lunch. So I'm very faithful to plan A, but it's great to have plan B because I love the Lord even more than my lunch.
I love that. And Father Gordon, and prayer doesn't have to be, you know, super long. It could be something short but heartfelt. You know, just something as simple as the morning offering. I mean, you can do this in the hotel room when you're on vacation. You know, you can do a morning offering in 60 seconds just to take a moment and say hello to our Lord and acknowledge Him and give thanks for all the blessings.
That is also very true. To just orient our day, to recognize that our lives have to be oriented towards the Lord, that we are not our own master, so to speak, that the Lord is the one that we constantly have referencing in our lives. And so I agree, John, that that kind of moment is very, very good. But I also want to encourage our listeners that those moments in themselves, as good as they are, aren't sufficient in itself to build up that deep friendship and relationship. We do need to spend some time with the Lord that's committed and dedicated to Him. And what does prayer look like? I think sometimes people often don't know how to pray. As a matter of fact, I'm developing a course right now through our Office for Evangelization in the Archdiocese of Newark on prayer. Several years ago, we had developed one on evangelization that was very successful. And so now we're developing one on prayer, because I think most people don't feel confident or secure about their personal prayer life. But some very simple things, just to spend some time giving thanks and praise to God, spending some time in intercession, which is a very natural way in which most of us pray, and to spend some time with the Word of God. Spend some time with the Scriptures. It might be a psalm. It might be a canticle of Mary or Zechariah, the Magnificat, or the Benedictus. It might be just some simple prayer in which we find ourselves enveloped in the Word of God. You know, you were saying before that St. Thomas, whose feast is today, also known with the unfortunate moniker of Doubting Thomas. But if anything, he's Believing Thomas, because he's the one that makes the most explicit statement of faith. After Jesus shows him the wounds, he says, "My Lord and my God." And so because he moved from doubt to faith, from confusion to clarity, as it were, because he longed for being with the Lord, he longed to be in His presence, and when he was in His presence, in the presence of the Word made flesh, that flesh that came to him, he cried out, "It's Lord and God." And so if we spend time in the Word of the Scriptures, when we come to the Word made flesh in the Eucharist, the recognition will be all the stronger and brighter.
Father Gordon, I'm so glad that you found a way to work St. Thomas the Apostle into our conversation here this morning. That's perfect. You know, I love those words. And in fact, I've gotten into the habit of saying them always at the consecration, "My Lord and my God," right. The words that came from the Apostle St. Thomas that we're honoring today. Can you talk a little bit about making Mass a priority, especially when you're on vacation, which it can be so easy to be caught up in all the fun and you know, being away from home and, you know, being on vacation. But if there's a will, there's a way. You could always find a Catholic Mass somewhere out there.
That's absolutely right. And I think there's a couple of websites, or at least one website, that you can find things locally. You know, when people plan vacations, depending upon the kind of vacation they're planning, let's say they're going on a trip someplace they've never been before, they're going to do some touring and sightseeing, they're going to go to some restaurants. And so what they'll have done is they'll have made some pre-planned tours. They'll say, "Oh, well, on Tuesday we're going to do this, on Wednesday we're going to do that." They kind of build it into their plan so that they have a chance to see the things they want to see, to eat at the places they want to eat. Well, when you're planning that kind of vacation, dear listeners, plan when you're going to get to Mass on there, for Saturday evening or Sunday sometime. But look around and find out, just as you did the research to know what sites you wanted to see or what restaurants you wanted to go to or what side tours you wanted to make. So we want to do that for Sunday Mass. That becomes that level of priority. Other times we take a vacation with totally R&R. There's no plans at all. We're just going to go someplace and just relax by the beach or by the lake or in the mountains or wherever we're going to be. And all that is fine and good. But even as we're making plans to where we're going and making plans of where we're staying and are we going to be eating out or cooking in or whatever we're going to be doing, part of the planning for a vacation ought to include planning for Mass, and to realize that it is doable, and then make a decision. Oh, It's 45 minutes to get to Mass. I don't know. Well, then consider yourself. Would you drive 45 minutes to go to this fancy restaurant that you heard about? Would you drive 45 minutes to see somebody you hadn't seen in a while? Would you drive 45 minutes to see the Grand Canyon if they're that far? Of course you would. You wouldn't think twice of it. How much more should we do that for the Lord? So I think if we make it a level of commitment and planning as a way of entering into that relationship with the Lord, I think we're going to find it to be life-giving, and we're going to come back from vacation without feeling the sense of, oh, I have overeaten in the things that I don't feel healthy about.
Great reminder. And last week, I shared with our listeners that my family traveled to Nashville, Tennessee for about 5 days for my son's travel baseball tournament. And they had a really busy schedule with games going on at all these big universities. But we found a way to get to Mass. I mean, it was a priority. We didn't have to go that far. We had to drive 45 minutes to these ball games in some cases. But we made it a priority, and it was a beautiful thing, and we found a beautiful Mass at 5 o'clock, the 5 o'clock evening Mass, so we're able to honor our Lord that way. So it can be done if you have where there's a will, there's a way.
And John, I can share with you and our listeners one infallible way in which you will not ever have to miss Mass when you go on vacation. Take me with you.
There you go. I love it. I love it. Well, Father Gordon, I really appreciate your words of wisdom here that you've shared with us. Always appreciate your spiritual direction. Prayer is so important. So here we are on the Feast of St. Thomas the Apostle, and we can say, my Lord and my God together.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You so
God
much.
Bless you.
Father John Gordon, the Secretary for Evangelization for the Archdiocese of Newark and a longtime Relevant Radio contributor. We need to take a short break. When we come back, Catholic speaker, faith coach, and author Kendra Von Esch will continue her summer series on conquering addictions and bad habits. Today, we're going to talk further about how everything begins with God and our soul, and that also includes prayer. So stay with us on this Monday edition, this July the 3rd edition of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And that would be the 247th birthday of our nation as we get ready for tomorrow's Independence Day holiday. Welcome back to Morning Air on this long 4th of July holiday weekend for many of you. And, of course, today is also the Feast of St. Thomas the Apostle. I'm John Morales. Glenn is off. Sarah is with us. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app on this Monday morning. We are live here this morning. As always, you can send us an email directly if you have any thoughts or story ideas, morningair@relevantradio.com. You can find us on social media, on Twitter. Our handle is @morningairshow, as well as on Facebook. Now, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is quite relevant as we get ready for tomorrow's Independence Day. It's from 1 Timothy 2:1 and 2. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all men, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, godly and respectful in every way. We always pray with great confidence from the Chapel of Divine Mercy, Jesus, I trust in you." Now, as we get ready for tomorrow's 4th of July holiday, let me ask you a question. Why do you love America? That's a good question for every single one of us here as we get ready for tomorrow's Independence Day. Our former Morning Air producer, Mariano Gomez, put together a very moving musical tribute to our nation a couple of years ago. This will make you proud to be an American, living in the greatest nation in the world, the land of the free and the home of the brave.
And so, my fellow Americans, Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
That my poor little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
Neck and neck now. Phelps still making up ground. Neck and neck. Who's going to touch first? Was it Cabbage? Well, it was Phelps. And Phelps gets the gold medal.
History in Beijing for Michael Phelps.
The rest of the world hear you, and the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
Sarah, are you feeling patriotic?
I had to wipe away a little tear. You know what? We missed that. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. We misforgot that one. But those are some great, epic. Man, America has a great long history. It's hard to narrow it down just to a couple of minutes.
It really is. But, you know, Mariano did a great job. I love that piece, and it gives me goosebumps. You know, if you're not feeling patriotic after you listen to that, you might as well, become a European.
Well, you know, and the beauty that is America has inspired people generation after generation, just in so many different ways, musically, you know, lyrically, poems, stories, movies, you name it. There's just inspiration abound, because this is something that the world never tried before, what America's trying to do. And obviously, we're a work in progress, but man, we're working in the right direction. So it's a beautiful day to tomorrow will be a beautiful day to remember some of that, and a great day to celebrate. So let's try to do it safely and beautifully with our families tomorrow.
For sure. And I think it's a great time to really, think about, why do you love America? It's something for all of us to ponder. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation here this morning, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're going to switch gears here this morning and continue our Soul, Mind, and Body Summer Series on Conquering Addictions and Bad Habits. Joining us live from Chicago is Morning Air regular contributor Kendra Von Esch to focus on the soul and give us some reminders of how everything begins with God, and therefore we're going to talk about the importance of prayer. Kendra's a speaker, faith coach, podcaster who is passionate about sharing her faith, her supernatural transformation, and spiritual experiences while helping others on their journey. Kendra is also the author of Am I Catholic? A Struggle with Faith, Humility, and Surrendering to God. Good morning, my sister Kendra. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again here during this Independence Day long weekend.
Oh, my goodness. That was a goosebump little segment that you did. I was thoroughly enjoying it. And by the way, a quick prayer out to the Holy Spirit to keep this little beagle, and I know you know how beagles bark, John, quiet next to me during this segment.
Oh my goodness, you have a beagle with you?
We are watching my son's beagle, Frankie, who is adorable. He's so light, I could pick him up with one hand, and he's 7 years old. He's starting to get gray, but yeah, he is a barker, so I'm just praying he stays asleep during this segment, and I know you know what a beagle bark is like.
Do I ever? Absolutely.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, don't encourage him, okay? He's got to stay quiet.
I know, right? Exactly. I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, come. Please keep him sleeping. So, so far, so good.
If I'd have known you were watching a beagle this morning, I would have brought Blaze into the studio.
I forgot his name, Blaze. That's a cool name.
Blaze the Beagle.
Beagles are great. If nobody has seen a beagle, they're so unique. They're amazing.
As my wife always says, who can refuse those beagle eyes?
Oh, I'm here. I'm with you. Oh, he's eating so many treats. He's going back 5 pounds heavier.
There you go. There you go. All right, Kendra. Last week, you were with Glenn while I was off for a few days, and you talked about our why and if we root our identity. I'd like you to share with us a little bit about, real briefly, what you guys talked about last week.
Sure, sure. So most of us try to change things because the culture kind of pressures us into it. So let's say we need to lose some weight, or we kind of know we might have a little bit of a drinking habit, or we're doing too many drugs, or we're watching pornography, or we're honestly just angry with people all the time. Maybe we're judgmental, maybe we're resentful. All of these things can be addictions. It can be, again, a substance, or it can be us being addicted to that actual emotion and that feeling. So when we remember who we are as a child of God, as a brother and sister of Jesus, and let's not forget that holy temple of the Holy Spirit, then our why should be different. We should be wanting to change, not just because we're carrying on an extra 10, 15, 20 pounds because the culture says we're a little heavy, not just because that, you know, we want, because the world says that we shouldn't be judgmental, or Christians say that. We should do it because we love Jesus, because we are, again, a child of God, and we're called out of this world. So that's really what we talked about yesterday. And if we can root our why in that, it matters more. It's not just a superficial kind of, you know, act. And we talked about it being a covenant with God. So we know we're supposed to be different. So let's start going to God, who is our strength, right? There's total humility in asking God for help, and then he can help us with those amazing, tremendous transformations, the things that we've been battling for decades. I know all of us have something like that in our lives.
Well, this morning, we're going to talk about prayer from a layperson's perspective. We talked a little bit about prayer during the summer in the previous segment with Father John Gordon. But this morning, we want to talk about how everything begins with God and our soul. In fact, your series is called Soul, Mind, and Body with Soul First. So I'm sure there's a reason why you picked that title.
Oh, of course. Well, we all know the two greatest commandments. First is to love thy God and keep him the center of our lives, right? Love him with all of our soul, our heart, our mind, our strength. And doing the second of the greatest commandments, which is loving ourselves and loving thy neighbor. If we boil our lives down to those two, the only way that we're going to be able to do the second commandment in any good way is if we have God in our life. And so a lot of people are like, well, what is prayer? Boy, John, we could talk for days on what prayer is. But I just want to tap into the catechism, that amazing thing out there that maybe some of those Catholic folks that are listening may not know about. But all you got to do is go on that good old interweb and type in prayer, catechism, and it'll come up section 4. So take a look at it. But it really is all about us lifting our heart and our mind to God. But we have to remember that if we do not pray, we will not be saved. That's St. Augustine. Couple more. If we do not pray, we will not be able to stop sinning. St. Alphonsus Liguori. But wait, St. Teresa of Avila says, if we do pray, Satan knows he's lost our soul. So as we sit here and we talk about all these addictions and these bad habits that we have in our life, we know that it is the world, the flesh, and the devil that comes after us when we're trying to be holier and we're trying to have some self-control in our lives. And so we must know that if we continue to pray, God's going to give us these beautiful graces. We're going to start to hear his voice, and we're going to start seeing him in our day. And we're going to start being humble and calling out to him all the time. So anyway, go to section 4 of the catechism. And guess what? Did you know that prayer is a gift?
Think about that.
I mean, of course, it's a gift. It's a gift, and it's a privilege. And you know, as I have said in the past, you know, we need prayer like we need air to breathe. Spiritually, without spiritual air, without that communication, that heartfelt lifting up of our hearts, as the Catechism says, you can't have a relationship with God.
Exactly. And so many people think that prayer is something, yes, we need to learn how to pray, just like your former segment. I have my own video prayer course for people that they can take. I desire people, that's my mission, to bring people closer to God through the Catholic Church and the sacraments and also the beautiful things that the saints have taught us. So this is all built on Ignatian spirituality and a little bit of the Carmelite practice, which is awesome. But we have to remember that it's also a covenant. So the gift, here's my recommendation to everyone. Call out to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Like, I don't know how to pray as I ought. That's biblical. We just say, come, Holy Spirit, come. And hopefully God will speak to us in a huge way. And that's why we have to pay attention. That's why we've got to do it every single day. Because if we do, we know Satan's pretty much going to give up on us. And how cool is that? I don't know about you, but I don't need Satan on my bad side. I'd rather have him go to someone else. And that's pretty cool. So I love St. Teresa of Avila. She's a prayer warrior.
Well, Kendra, we're with you. Yeah. Believe me, we pray to the Holy Spirit at the top of every hour here on Morning Air. That short little prayer, come Holy Spirit, come. I wouldn't think of doing the show without invoking the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a reason why we say that the Holy Spirit is the executive producer of Morning Air, because, you know, without the Holy Spirit, we don't do what we do.
Exactly. We can't evangelize either. So it's like, people, prayer is it's not negotiable. You can't not, that's such bad English, John. You need it in your life. Okay. All right. Prayer is a covenant. So the whole man who prays, it's the whole man. A lot of the times we hear the Bible say the soul and the spirit, but what the Catechism says is we must pray from the heart. So that's the other thing. We can be babbling a lot in prayer, totally distracted in prayer. And don't worry, because if you commit to that 15 minutes, which is what mental prayer is, it's a minimum of 15 minutes. If you commit to it and you fight through all those distractions, your to-do list, your argument with your child, your argument with your spouse, whatever's distracting you, it's awesome, because St. Francis de Sales says that it is a good prayer to God. God says that's good. Why? Because we struggled through it. We stayed with that covenant. We told God we were going to give him our time, which is our currency with him. And even though it wasn't that great, it doesn't matter, because we committed to it. It's when we walk away, when we go to our phone, we go to our emails, we get up, we go get that coffee, and we don't pray, we're actually committing a sin. And we don't want to do that. And then, of course, the very last thing, and I'll be real quick, prayer is a communion with God. So in the new covenant, it's a living relationship with the children of God, their Father, and his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. So we need to have the entire holy and royal Trinity be combined with the whole human spirit. That is a brief quote from the Catechism. So prayer is necessary.
Absolutely.
And not so hard if you learn it.
Absolutely necessary. And Kendra, I want to bring in our listeners. If you want to be part of our conversation, and perhaps maybe you can share what prayer means to you, why praying from the heart is so important in your life, and how you share our faith with others. We're taking your calls for Catholic speaker and author and faith coach Kendra Von Esch at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now we're going to take a short break as we continue our discussion with Kendra. Stay with us. There's more to come on the other side.
And they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. Still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land.
You ask me why I love her? Well, give me time. I'll explain. You've seen a Kansas sunset or an Arizona rain? Have you drifted on a bayou down Louisiana way? Have you watched the cold fog drifting over San Francisco Bay? Have you heard a Bob White calling in the Carolina pines? Or heard the bellow of a diesel at the Appalachia mines? Does the call of the Niagara thrill you when you...
I hope you're enjoying those wonderful words of the great legendary John Wayne as we get ready for tomorrow's Independence Day holiday, the 247th birthday of our nation. Welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us as we continue our conversation with Catholic speaker, author, and faith coach, Kendra Von Esch, as we are continuing her series that we have started here this summer about dealing with addictions and bad habits and how to conquer them. And today we're talking about prayer and loving the Lord. Welcome back, Kendra.
Thanks for having me, John. I didn't know I'd need Kleenex for this segment with all this awesome stuff you're playing.
Well, we're feeling a little patriotic.
I'm feeling awfully patriotic.
You know, and yeah, in fact, we can include being patriotic into our prayer life and say, thank you, Lord, for the blessings of having freedom and for the blessings of having what so many of us believe is the greatest nation on God's green earth.
And we must keep fighting for it.
Absolutely.
Freedom.
Absolutely. Well, we were talking about the importance of loving and serving God in our lives. What about the mission to be disciples and to make disciples, what we call evangelization?
Oh, for sure. So like I said earlier before we cut to a commercial, that we cannot evangelize if we do not have the Holy Spirit in us. And we honestly need to have a virtuous life in order to keep that grace coming down. So to all of those out there who are struggling with mortal sin, remember that you are cutting yourself off from that beautiful grace of God that shines through us. Because again, our mission isn't easy. We're not just supposed to be Christians hanging out in our house. I kind of did for a few years. You know, I was learning what it was to be a Catholic, like every single teaching, not just picking and choosing what I wanted, and then learning the Bible and learning the other denomination practices, like truly learning. I felt like I was inside my house, not speaking up about God to the world. But then once I started understanding and God started putting that knowledge into my head. And then, of course, when you read the book of James, all you have to do is confidently ask God for the wisdom of Him. Then we can go out and speak. So it took some time. I had to learn the Bible. And guess what the Bible says? Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. So we have two things to do in our lives as Catholic Christians. Number one, we've got to be a witness. So again, if you're out there struggling with mortal sin, go to confession, reconciliation, I call it, because I really want to be reconciled with God. I don't want confession to look like, you know, a punishment for me. In the word reconciliation, there's the word cilia, and it means little hairs. So just like our little eyelashes, I want to be eyelash to eyelash with God and be as pure as I can, because I know that I need God's strength. If I don't have that confession to wipe my sins, I'm in a world of hurt. So also another thing that blocks us is forgiveness. So some of us might be out there not forgiving someone, and that is going to block the Holy Spirit in us, which will then make it a lot more difficult for us to speak up about our faith. So it's all tying together, but it does root, as we talked about from the very beginning, is that relationship with God. And I think too often when we are living our day, we're not paying attention. I know we've talked about the 95% of our subconscious programming kicks in throughout our day, and we only really pay attention to 5% of our day, which floors me, but I see it all the time. But when we do pay attention, then we can call on God's strength. So when we're faced with that temptation, right, that mortal sin or that horrible emotion that we might be addicted to, which might even be fear of speaking up about our faith to someone, we have to just look to God. We have to stop, pause, and pray. There's power in prayer. And the minute that we enact and call out in a humble way to God, Holy Spirit, come and do our best to step aside. I mean, sometimes I would fight with what I would hear God want me to say, not in an audible voice, but he would put thoughts in my head. And I'm like, oh, no, I can't say that. You know, and sometimes we need to just say it because there's probably something going on in that other person that God is telling us they're ready to receive it. And just be prepared for blowback because it might come. It's, you know, it's not easy for people who are living sinful lives, but we must speak up about it. Here's James 4:17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is a sin. And we don't want to sin by keeping our mouths closed. So we have a tough, we've got a tough walk because we have to be a witness, right? We just talked about the beam the other day in our eye and the speck in our brother's eye. And we need to walk the walk and the talk. So let's first work on us. And we need God in order to have that transformation. But then we need to get out there and speak up and share the gospel. And that all comes together with practice. And come, Holy Spirit, come. Right, John?
Absolutely. And Kendra, it's not easy. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. In fact, St. Paul talks about fighting the good fight of faith. Final minute, how do we fight this spiritual battle that we're engaged in?
Well, pay attention, because half the time we're not. And we have to get some courage. Courage begets courage. Don't be afraid to speak up against anything, whether it's against Jesus or it's against what's going on maybe in our country, maybe something's not constitutional. So just call on the courage of God and his strength and just watch it fill you and live and learn. It sometimes may not be the best, but you're going to be happier that you spoke up and you'll learn how to speak up better. Always with the heart of love, right?
Absolutely. Kendra, thanks so much for being with us. Happy 4th of July.
You too. Happy Independence Day, and God bless America and everyone in it.
Morning Air contributor Kendra Von Esch. And now it is time once again for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called The Final Fourth from Jason Earle. I sit here in Princeton, New Jersey, my hometown, a small city rich in history dating back to the Revolution, history especially relevant to this holiday weekend. Perhaps that's what's prompted me to sit down and write. The 4th of July is a feel-good holiday. Most of us finding ourselves beach-bound or at picnics with friends and loved ones, eating and drinking to pleasant excess, enjoying fireworks and trying to avoid bug bites and sunburn. It's a holiday which few people can take issue with. On a deeper level, to me, it carries powerful meaning because of the freedoms that were delivered through our liberation from England well over 200 years ago. Thomas Jefferson and John Adams became fast friends during the First Continental Congress, but the political elections, which made them both presidents, illuminated their very different political views, creating a rift that would last most of their lives. A mutual friend engineered a reconciliation between the two, culminating in a rich and heartwarming relationship documented in 12 years of letters between them, which historians say must be read to be fully appreciated. As two of the few surviving signers of the Declaration of Independence, they were finally able to see that they had far more in common than any differences they'd once perceived. Amazingly, on July 4th, 1826, the 50th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, these two luminaries died within hours of each other. What's more, Adams' last words as he drifted in and out of consciousness on his final day were, "Jefferson survives." Jefferson had passed away hours earlier. In his last moments, Jefferson awakes to ask his aides in his final utterance, "Is it the 4th? "Indeed it is, Mr. Jefferson, the 4th of July. We owe you and Mr. Adams tremendous thanks. Happy Independence Day. Romans 12:10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor.
And of course, our thanks to Glenn. You can download every episode of Glenn's Story Corner on the Relevant Radio app. That'll do it for this Monday, July 3rd edition of Morning Air. For producers Sarah Tafoya, Gabby Burke, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God bless America. Happy 4th of July, Independence Day tomorrow. We'll see you on the next edition of Morning Air. And we leave you with the beautiful rendition of God Bless America by Celine Dion.